Gospel reading that Barry read reminds, Jesus is reminding us that we are all one. And Chief Seattle reminds us that we are all interconnected. Same teachings, 2,000 years or, 2,000 years apart. And so it is my distinct honor and privilege to invite Chief Michael Rakoma to speak to us from the Qualicum Nation. And Michael is the only sitting chief in BC to also hold the regional district of Nanaimo position as the alternate director. So when the director of the regional district of Nanaimo cannot appear, Chief Michael steps in. So he is recognized as a key leader in our community. So thank you, Michael, for joining us. Please welcome Michael Rakoma, Chief Michael.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, my name is Michael Rakoma. I am elected chief of the Qualicum First Nation. I would also especially start by thanking Jennifer for inviting me to speak this morning to the group. I met Jennifer at a blanketing ceremony here at Knox probably months ago. Who knows when it was? It doesn't really matter. But still, I would really ask anybody who's never heard of that, if you ever hear it again, to go to it. It'd give you a brief insight into how we think what happened to us as a people, and an insight into maybe why we're wired the way we are and think the way we do. So we also spoke about where do we want to go with this little chat this morning, and it was kind of going, let's go with past, present, and future. So the present would be, like Jennifer just said, about I'm the only chief that has a seat in a regional district as an alternate director, which is, again, I never said it, it's an honor to be a leader in two worlds. That's very unique. That puts a lot of faith from that director area H in me to be that person. And I get the respect of the community going, he can do this. But the past is different. I would like to speak of the past from a personal experience. Right the way back to, not all the way back to, when we as people, Indigenous people, as children from Qualicum First Nation, were allowed, for lack of better words, into the public school system, which was very different. It was the old story going, yes, back of the class, that's where we had to sit. But that was only part of it. The other part was really quite ironic, quite funny. I still think this is hilarious because we were not allowed to ride in the school bus with the other non-Indigenous people. They got a taxi from Qualicum to pack us back and forth every morning, every afternoon. And then I guess we were there for probably 2 years before we were allowed to ride the bus. I think their pretext was the Indigenous people don't pay taxes to ride that bus, but somebody paid for that taxi. And look at it now. Look at it now going, my son, who was 26, graduated Qualicum Secondary, we're allowed to wear our regalia to, we as the parents, him as a student can wear his regalia to his graduation, same university. Things changed. Here I stand before you today. I don't think that would have happened 5-6 years ago. I'm not sure as a leader, but it doesn't matter. It's today. We talk about water systems. Same thing, we packed our water because we couldn't get in the public water system. And the same story goes, things have changed so drastically in the world in the last even 10 years. Chief Seattle put it quite bluntly, you know, but we're all wards, we're all stewards of the land, every one of us. It's been said here many, many times, just to be going, we are all God's children. We're all somebody's children, Creator, God. It doesn't matter how you look at him, how you see him, still somebody brought us here. And I was telling Jennifer this morning, the fact that every culture, every religion, all start with a flood story. Somebody cleansed the earth. Even we say the same thing, somebody cleansed it. And we spoke of to the children about the eagle feather again. Am I nervous? Yeah, I've never spoken to this church. You saw me here probably 2 or 3 weeks ago. I came here to see if I was comfortable in literally my own skin to come here, to sit in here and do this. I've been here for functions, the blanket exercise. I've been here for numerous things, but never to speak, to sit in here on a Sunday, to speak to people, even be here on a Sunday. Sometimes I'm not comfortable in a church. People took care of that for me as a child. To religion wasn't something that I wanted after to cut through with me. But that's my baggage. But still, I come to them. I've spoken to church groups, Rotary clubs, Lions clubs, many people, just to get a glimpse into this is how things are now, a little bit of how they were before, and where do we want to go? The future is, like I said, the beginning was that being chosen as alternate director, and again, something that's I'm very honored to hold the position. But still, it's where do we want to go? Where do we want to go as a people? I'm not sure. Kinder Morgan's a big one. That's a huge thing. Again, you can see the papers going. Even the Aboriginals are kind of divided. Work, land, you know, who's crossing whom where. Just to do that, you've got fish farms. You've got so many things that are going on in the world that affect all of us, not just Indigenous or non-Indigenous. Affects the whole thing, economy, the whole thing. Money drives the world. And if I didn't say it, it would be, we're all silly not to think that it doesn't do that. But I keep forgetting this part, sorry, and the choir. I go this way. I'm not used to, I can't see too well out of this side. When I first was asked to do that, I thought, where do we really want to go? I don't know where you want to go. My band is 110 people, that's it. Elections, I'm in an elected position every 2 years. Election is August 2nd this year. Will I stay? Yes. Or will I run? Yes, I will. If I don't make it, well, that's my community. That's democracy. Again, that's an 1886 laws by the government of Canada. Very archaic. We have a hereditary system as well as the elected by the government. Again, some things just don't change very quickly. And that Indian Act is one of them. I think back to even how things were even when I was a child. You know, Indians and alcohol don't get along. But then again, it was illegal for us even to possess the stuff, never mind be drunk. But again, things changed so we could consume it. Things just change, evolve, but some things just don't. I don't know whether we want to open. I mean, I think we should open the floor for a few questions if you want. Or can we just stand here and just keep talking about what happened before and what could happen now? Do people want to move along? I've been invited to Quebec to speak to Indigenous people over there with UNESCO. As you know, the biosphere region here in this area is very large. It's had a resurgence of what happened. But again, this was maybe not primarily, but Chief David Bob, former Chief David Bob, God rest his soul, and I, we went to the leaders of UNESCO or Biosphere and said, if you want this to succeed, you've got to start, you should start with us. We are the stewards of the land, but also people have got things to do with the land, logging companies, you know, forestry people, you've got stream keepers, you've got so many factions in there. You should start with, and we recommended they do a roundtable. And this is what they do now, and they've taken that, started it in other places in Canada. But again, we could just back saying, you know, we kind of piloted that project. And again, you've got to bring all the players to the same table if you're going to have any success when it comes to working with the land. And again, we, the Indigenous people, are the stewards. We were here first. And we usually have a lot to say, and people are learning, believe it or not, to listen to us, because what we say, you know, does history repeat itself? Yes, it does. Look what's happening in the States now, separating adults from kids in Mexico. Didn't this happen here? Again, things, people don't learn, don't seem to learn what happened before, maybe wasn't right. I tell people too quite happily, going, when it comes to myself, I can look at what happened many ways, And I look at it as a matter of going, people at that time, at that point in their lives, in my life, they thought they were doing us a favor. They thought they were helping us. You can take those thoughts and take them somewhere else. You can, even if we knew it was wrong, even if we as people, as children, it was wrong, but what are you going to do? You're stuck with the system. You had RCMP officers taking kids away, but again, at that point in time, then, not now, not the future, things happened that weren't good. We have Aboriginal Day, which came on Thursday. I quite candidly call it Hug an Indian Day, which my wife gets to every morning if she wants. And that was the day. That was the day I told Jennifer the story about my surgeon doing a surgery on that day, and I told her that same story. Going, the day. What is the day? She goes, it's Salta's. No, it's Aboriginal. But I said I prefer to call it Hug an Indian Day. So there's a surgeon going to do this procedure on me. She pulls off the hat, the gown, the gloves, and she goes, here you go. She gives me this big hug. She goes, and I get to hug a chief. And then she gowned back up and she finished speech. She goes, I'm going to remember that for the rest of my life. And obviously, and I thought it was quite, I didn't think that was going to happen. But you never know. The humor, who knows what it is. But she saw it as what I intended it to be. And that was a good thing. You know, it's just not make light of it. But still, I thank whomever, the government of Canada, for giving us that day. But again, days don't come and go. Things to be remembered. You know, we remember what happened. People also forget that some people say, oh, you should just get over it. But still, I think back to what happened. People remember November the 11th. We still remember the people that fought in wars for us. Why can't we don't forget, but we can and do forgive. And to me, that's important too. You weren't there. I tell people quite happily going, some people would hear see stories and hear some of them and they would start crying. But I just say, no, you can't wear this. You weren't there. You're too young. And still, but maybe just take a little. Maybe this is why they're quiet. This is why they keep to themselves. Why we were so quiet. Even before I came chief, our reserve was very quiet. But when I became elected as that person, I made a point of being in that newspaper every month. I wanted people to know who I was, where I came from, what I did, and the changes I was hoping to make to get into the world to people so I can walk through and they would know who I was. Little did I know this would happen, but I did it to myself, and I'm proud of it. But again, to just stand here now and for all of you going, to me, I'm the honored one, not you. I am, to have that opportunity. And to thank Jennifer for doing that for me at that little meeting. It was a very short chat we had at that flying center because it was very busy. And I told Jennifer this morning, the one thing that I remembered from that, I've been to quite a few of those ceremonies, and I'm always thankful that this was the first one that I did here in October, whenever it was, that I died in the ceremony. But I'm quite thankful. It's funny how your heartbeat changes. Because all the first members went to one was going, oh my God, don't send me to. Because you happen to, you get sent around. And some of you get sent to residential school. I go, don't do that. But again, it's my mind going, holy crap, you know, how powerful that ceremony is. But to survive was something. And that was, like I said, this one now was the first time that I died of smallpox on that one. And that's what happened to many. It was your story going, do you want to go to private school? No. Do you want a blanket? No. Because they were laced. But still, am I running out of time?
I forgot to watch.
I seem to still have their attention. I'm wondering, too, do we want to do a few questions and answers of any kind? I would ask you to be respectful for me for what I won't answer to you. Shoot. That was so. Don't say shoot, Michael. Don't say
that. That's fine. I'm just wondering about your journey in becoming chief. Is it something that your family influence you to become, or how did it happen?
My community, okay, I used the term in many meetings, I'm a retreaded civil servant. I worked for the Government of Canada for like 33 years. My community came to me to ask me to change my position. And I talked to my wife, my son, a financial advisor, because I was 2 years to full retirement or full pension. And the financial advisor said, if you're going to live to be 110, 120, stay. But if the life expectancy of a man and your family is short, take it now. And the big thing was my wife and my child. My child was probably, I think he was 20 then. And again, because it changes your life forever. You'll never be the same person. Well, I knew what I wanted. I knew my community wanted me to do this. I decided to do it, so yes. And my story about this almost makes me cry. I remember my mother was on her own then. We looked after her for her meal, so I said, Mom, it's election day. And she knew I was running. And so I said, okay, we'll come back. We'll come tell you tomorrow. And she goes, no, I want to know tonight. And she says, but Mom, the vote's on council at 9:30 at night. Wake me up. And then so we went over, me and my wife, because I had won. And so there's my mom sitting in her chair. My mother's this tall. She's her chair's a love seat. She can sit in there. And so I said, you're awake? She goes, damn right I'm awake. What happened? So I hugged her. I said, you hugged a chief. She was very proud, as was I. But, I mean, it was one of those things going, she sat there. And then she phoned her friends. And my mother's from Musqueam. And Musqueam's a very big band. So that she phoned her friends and went, my son made it. You know, one of my, because I come from a family of nine. And so she was so happy, that I made it as this position. So my community chose it. And I chose to respect what they wanted. They wanted a different leader. They wanted me to be that person. And I always thank them for putting their trust in me. That's a big responsibility for them to put it to one person. And for the person to say, okay, I've never done this. But my government training did help a lot. My wife had said many times, your government job for 30 plus years groomed you for this one. So I guess she was right. Women are always right. And I quite happily say that. I have I tell people my wife is as Irish as a potato. She's that's her. That's just an Irish woman, and yes, I love her dearly. 35 years with her. Over here. It's like Donahue.
Thank you. First, I want to say thank you very much. We're very honored that you're here. I'm just wondering what you would feel is your vision for your people, what you would like to see unfold for your people.
My vision is becoming very evident at the campsite. Anybody that goes by there, you would have seen what we did with six cabins there. And because there's ice, sitting where I sit, I see the money from the government drying up quickly, even in the, because I was council for 2 years and then chief for four. So in the 6 years there, you see the money going cut back, because we all see cut back, because that's what's going on. So we have to be self-sufficient or more so than we have been, which is what I'm striving for, hence economic development of any kind. The campsite is very large. I joined everything in the community that did advertising, chambers of commerce, Lighthouse Country Business, anybody who could help me promote my campground, my fish. We have ESSR fish. Anybody help me, I joined them, because of course they've got the knowledge and expertise that I didn't have. And I've learned very quickly in the first year as chief, if I don't have that answer, somebody has it, and they're more than willing to help. For whatever reason, because they want us to succeed too. They can sit back and say, there's nothing more rewarding than to say, I helped that person get where they are. I do the same thing myself. My community member the same. When I started there as chief, there was nine kids no grade 12s, no GEDs, no driver's license. They didn't care. They were kind of going in a circle of SA and whatnot. And by the time I was done the first year, eight of them had grade 12 and driver's licenses, and, or the L or the N part of it, L and N, and one just didn't care. He was happy just to be a laborer, and that's his life. But two went on to become post-secondary. One became a lawyer. One became a chef. To me, that was going. They just needed another talk. Because aunties and uncles, parents, all, we've heard it, we've done it. Well, you know, you should do this, you should do that. And I just took a different approach with them, and they just blossomed. Again, success on my part, yes. They're going to be our leaders, but to be self-sufficient is my goal, to be more so self-sufficient, so that when the government says, hey, we got the money for you, fine, we're okay. A long answer for a short question. Politician. I should say these lights are different because, of course, in one of my worlds, younger, when my son was younger, as was I, we did magic so you could never see the crowd. And it's really weird to stand up here now and see the crowd because we did magic for 15 years together. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry, sir.
Do you believe in the healing properties of the mushroom?
Do I believe in?
The healing properties of the mushroom?
I believe healing properties are whatever you want. Healing properties can come from crystals, from mushrooms, whatever you need. Mushrooms are from the earth, and that's usually your best form of any type of healing is something that came from Mother Earth. Yes. Well, they didn't fall asleep. Believe me, if anybody wants to chat, I was invited to the party after. And I'm staying. I tell people, hey, you're going to feed me? I'm staying. But still, I would like to know people here probably better. I said to Jennifer that I will come back anyway just because I was comfortable here. I'm comfortable now. But so I'm not looking for religion. I'm just looking for more people in my friendship circle. We don't have to have religion. We don't need a tie like that. We can just know, like Jennifer said, and it said many times, we're all just people. And that's fine. And I would like to know people as people. And sure, I can always be that guy that's the chief. I've got a lifestyle that you don't understand, maybe. And questions afterwards are fine with me. I've no trouble doing some, you know, some of the questions are good. If I don't like the question, I'll just say, that's a good question. and leave it at that. Those get to the personal part of my life. But still, I could happily chat with about my roles and my lifestyle even before I became this character and as the chief and move on from there.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you very much.